I don't know. I ain't got no singing voice left on Sunday nights after I preach in the mornings, but I feel like we're going to sing this song. It'll go long, maybe set the stage for the message this evening. I'm glad when you've got the Lord, you got everything you need to do what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. When the Lord's all you have, He's all you need. Moses said, O Lord, not me, I can't speak. Gideon said, Lord, out of all, I am the least. But the Lord had this message for His children. When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need.
Moses led God's people to deliverance, and Gideon led God's people to victory, and all because this truth was very evident. When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need. When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need. In your weakness there will be your strength. Through the water, through the fire, is a faithful friend indeed. When the Lord is all you have, He's all.
So what's your excuse for not giving all to Jesus? Have you been told you cannot, you're too weak? Well, the Lord has this message for you, brother. When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need.
When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need.
So what's your excuse for not giving all to Jesus? Have you been told you cannot, you're too weak? Well, the Lord has this message for you, brother. When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need.
When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need.
God's children said, hallelujah. I'm glad that's true tonight. All right, go with me in your Bibles, and let's preach tonight out of Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Thank you, girls. Thank you, young people. Dolores, thank you for singing tonight, and you've helped us this evening. Go ahead, sister. Hallelujah.
God, I feel so much better than I deserve. And you know, Candy's family sang that song that they sang this morning.
Yeah.
I'm blessed.
Hallelujah.
And in that song, it says, precious are the thoughts that the Lord would even think of me.
Hmm.
And you know, there's 7 million plus people on
the outside
of this.
Yeah, song. Think about that.
And it's so precious.
Praise
that
the Lord.
Even consider.
Hallelujah.
Consider my wife, consider my home, consider my family, consider my children, consider my grandchildren.
Praise God.
So precious that a holy God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless his name.
And die on Calvary for a wretch like me. It's so precious to think that a holy Savior would think of someone like
Hallelujah.
me, and not just think, but work in my life and work in my home and work in my family. And, you know,
thank
the Lord.
The Lord.
Saved me. My wife was just a wreck. And God was so precious to save me, and not just save me, but he gave me a wonderful
husband. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank him, sister. Thank you.
I'm so undeserving.
Praise God.
The Lord God has put in my life for that man. And he's so precious.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just so thankful that God gives you precious
Good, gifts sister,
out
good.
Of that salvation. And you know, we saved Heather and Denver, and her life's just been changed, and I'm so thankful for that. And God gives you
Praise God. That a blessing. Hallelujah. Anybody else, you got something on your heart? Yeah. Y'all listen. Hallelujah, Betty. Amen, sister. Hallelujah. Yes. Right. Amen, Betty. Amen. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah, Betty. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Betty. Well said, sister. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just mind the Lord for a minute here. Anyone else? All hearts free? All righty, stand with me. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Boy, I appreciate good spirit in the house of the Lord this evening. I get a kick, and I hope y'all don't think that this is being condescending. God knows my heart. I'm not trying to be, and I hope it don't even come across that way. But on Sundays, I listen to some of the local church broadcasts that are going on. And we was listening to one coming down the road this afternoon, had the kids in the car. And I told my kids, I said, I don't know how anybody could go and sit in that. I don't know how. There ain't even no form of God in what I was hearing come out of the radio. And we was talking about riding down the road this afternoon coming to church, how blessed we are to have a place where God moves and God works and He speaks to us and He helps us along the way. And don't take that for granted, church. That means more than all the all the money in the world that we could have. That means more to me than paying the mortgage off. That means more to me than having big bank accounts. That means more to me than having people in every pew, is having a place where we can come and know God's going to meet with us and God's gonna move. I hate dead religion, and the older I get, the more I hate it. I despise it, and I need a place where I can go and feel the touch of God and feel God moving and God working in my life. And I'm glad that we have that in this place this evening. And so let's don't take that for granted, all right? Brother Chad, I don't know if you can give me maybe just a little more right here on the floor. I'm going to try to calm down and settle into this tonight. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem into captive, away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. And the Bible said in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, or thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, we've been preaching in recent days about the subject of victory. You can be seated this evening. And we believe it to be true there in Romans chapter number 8. And God has made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. There is victory in Jesus. And in everything we face, in everything that comes against us from without, in everything that is against us from within, it is the very perfect will of God that we live in a spirit of victory, in a state of being more than conquerors in the things that you and I face. And we've been preaching on that in these days. There's a lot of things in this so ungodly world that are designed by the world, designed by of the devil, I believe, to bring the child of God down in discouragement and to rob from you and I that which the Lord has saved you and I and positioned you and I to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't the will of God that we be discouraged. It ain't the will of God that, my friend, we live life tripping over our bottom lip. Can I get a witness right there? It's the will of God that you and I, amen, have the joy of the Lord and a spirit of victory upon the things that you and I do. And so we've taken up the subject of victory in Jesus. I preached in our last message on victory over family trouble. There out of Luke 15, man, if ever there's a family that had trouble, that family in the parable of the lost son sure had some trouble in it. And we dealt with that and dealt with how to have victory over family trouble. We dealt with the subject of victory over depression out of Psalm 42 in the life of David. And my friend, we're living in a depressed world and people face depression. 80% of depressed people are seeking no help at all. And my friend, there is no help outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace upon our life. We preached on victory over suffering, and we preached on victory over the world, and these things bring us down. When we come to Jeremiah chapter number 1, we're introduced to a man and his life by the name of Jeremiah. When Jeremiah, what we know of Jeremiah in our years of being around preaching and reading and studying the Word of God, we understand that Jeremiah in his life was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament that ever was. He was a man mightily used of God. He didn't have very much outward success, but God used this man known as the weeping prophet to accomplish communicating the word of God to his generation. And my friend Jeremiah did it faithful. And Jeremiah was a man who had the touch and the hand of God upon his life. And if ever there's a man that I would desire to be like out of the Old Testament, I would say Jeremiah would be on a very short list of men that I would desire to attain to their ministry in declaring the word of God. I like Jeremiah. He's a weeping prophet, but he's a balanced man. He'll bust your head and preach on your sin there, but he loved you enough to weep over your soul, and my friend loved you to where that you ought to be. And there's so much we can say tonight about the life of Jeremiah. A lot of things I could say you already know. What I'm trying to drive home right now, Brother Dean, is we know that Jeremiah was a great man of God, a great child of God that faithfully lived for God the days of his life. And sure, we could go to, amen, the time he got discouraged and said, Lord, I ain't gonna preach anymore in your name, and I'm done with this thing of serving God. Amen, but we couldn't cast no stones because you and I had been there a time or two. And thank God for the, amen, the wind that rushes in and encourages us and puts fire and wind back in our sails so we can serve God. And so Jeremiah was a great man of God, but as we look at these verses here that we've read tonight, we understand that we see the commencement of Jeremiah's ministry. This is where it begins. This is his calling. This is where God puts in him what we know to be a great man. This is where the greatness, if you will, began. I understand according to verse number 5, and the Bible said, God speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. We understand according to this single verse that God had a plan, a special plan, a significant plan for the life of Jeremiah. God, my friend, can I say tonight, had something great in store. The greatness of Jeremiah was going to be found in him living the life that God has ordained and planned in the will of God for him to live. We understand tonight that God had a desire to use his life for God's glory. And my friend, before he ever breathed, and before he was ever conceived in the womb, before he ever broke forth out of that womb, before he ever breathed his first breath, God said, I've already mapped it out, Jeremiah, and I have something very special for you to do, and I'm going to use your life in ways that you can never imagine. And can I just say in passing here tonight, and I believe that's true with all of God's children, that God has a very special and unique plan to your life. There are ways that God desires to use you. There are ways that God wants to take your life and mold it and form it and use it in his word to his honor and to his glory. You see, the will of God and serving God ain't just for the preacher tonight. It's not for just men like Jeremiah this evening, but it's for all God's children to understand that in the plan and in the work of God, God has a place for you, and God has a purpose for you, and God has a plan for your life. Can I say tonight, out of that one that may be thinking tonight, and I just don't fit in, and I just don't have anything to do with, my friend, that's alive the devil, and alive your flesh, and alive religion in our day. God does have a plan for you. And so we find in the life of Jeremiah in these verses that God has a plan for his life. He desires to use this young man and to get glory out of his life. And it's also clear here out of Jeremiah chapter 1 in this conversation between the Lord and Jeremiah that Jeremiah was not always the courageous and compassionate man that you and I know him to be. At Jeremiah in chapter number 1 is a very timid man. He's a man that, my friend, is not yet grown into the shoes that we know that he's going to fill. He's not yet arrived in a place where he can look at men and women who are committing adultery and say, the sin you're committing is wrong. He's not yet the man that's willing to get in the pulpit and point his finger, the tear running down his face, and crying out to God's people to return back unto the old paths and the good way and to get right with God. In Jeremiah chapter number 1, I think that Jeremiah's problem is a matter of insecurity. Evidently, he's got a relationship with God. Evidently, he knows who God is. He knows the voice of God. He knows what it is to talk with God. And now God comes to him and with his grand plan, this great thing that God has given him to do. And Jeremiah says, Lord, I can't do it. What is that? That is insecurity. He's insecure in what God has designed for him, and he feels like he's inadequate and he's unable to do that which God has called him to do and to be. Amen. What is revealed here in this opening chapter is the insecurities in Jeremiah. My friend had to get victory over if he was going to do and to be what God wanted him to be. God said, Jeremiah, before you ever fought, before you ever stood upright, before your mama ever held you, before the foundation of the world, I knew you was going to be, and I had it all mapped out that you was going to be used in this special way. And my friend, that had been the time to run a lap and to shout it out and to have victory. Man, God is going to use somebody like me. But Jeremiah said what many of us say, oh Lord God, not me. It ain't me. I'm not able to do what you're saying that you're going to use me to do. I can't be what you've called me to be. And there's insecurities in the life of this man that we know to be a great man. Before he could ever become great, Brother Dad, he had to get to the place where he got victory over insecurity. And so I want to preach on that tonight, if the Lord will help me, out of these verses on victory over insecurity. I'm preaching to some tonight, you would serve God and you would go door knocking and you would sing in the choir and you would do something for God that God has laid on your heart to do, but you're filled with insecurity, and that friend is holding you back. Amen. It's defeating you, and you'll never be what God wants you to be until you get victory over the insecurity of your heart. The word insecurity, Webster's, I got to slow down. Hey man, I'm losing my voice. The word insecurity, Webster's defines as to have want of safety or want of confidence. Would you agree with me? And that's what Jeremiah is facing in this chapter. He's saying, Lord, I just don't know if I can do what you've asked me to do. I don't know if I can stand up and preach how you've asked me to preach. I can't accomplish. Listen, insecurity is something we must overcome in life on the one measure of degree or another. And tonight in this building, there's probably, I'm looking around, there may be, amen, about 80 or 85 people here tonight. And but Jerry, all of us have to learn how to get victory over insecurity. Now there's some, and you are vastly insecure about what you're to be in Christ and what you could do for the Lord, and it holds you back greatly. And there are others that and have been there, and God has given victory, and yet tonight there are other areas in their life that they struggle in having a want of safety at that, and to do certain things is out of their comfort zone, and to rise to be what the man of God preaches in the old bit from the word of God. My friend, disturbs their rest and they're insecure about, but that's where Jeremiah is. Listen, amen, we've got to learn how to get victory victory over it. Let me show you some things here this evening by way of introduction. Amen. I think what I call this is there's at least four areas that created insecurity in the mind of Jeremiah that I think we can allude to tonight that creates our insecurity. Notice with me in verse number one, the demands on our lives oftentimes creates insecurity. Notice with me in verse number one, the Bible said the words of Jeremiah, a son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. And we read in this passage of scripture that Jeremiah is going through life, he's been trained, and he's in line to become a priest. It's already been said, he already knows what he's going to do with his life. He's already got it mapped out. He's comfortable in that which he's been trained in doing. And now God comes down and says, wait a minute, amen, back up a little bit. You're not going to do that anymore. Now I'm going to let you do this, and I'm going to use you to do something that I'm demanding out of your life that is completely different than what you had desired to do and what you had mapped out for yourself to do. And this evening, consider this with me. It no doubt appeared to, Jeremiah that the new demands on his life were too great for him to accomplish in himself. He spent his whole life getting ready to do one thing, and now God comes by and says, you're not going to do that anymore, and now I've got a new demand on your life. It seemed to me too great for Jeremiah to accomplish in himself. Can I say tonight, demands oftentimes that God places on our lives, the things that God desires you and I are to arise to the occasion for His honor and His glory, and He might use our lives in these ways, and that oftentimes it is the very thing that God is asking us to do, we feel so inadequate to do in ourselves. The demands on our lives. Notice with me, the difficulty in our lives oftentimes creates for you and me a sense of insecurity. Notice with me, the Bible said to whom the word, in verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. And he talks about it came also in the days of Jehoiakim. It also came in the days of Zedekiah, all these kings of Judah. And if you go back and you study, listen, there were less people living for God than them were living for God. It wasn't easy on that day, my friend, to raise up and to do something for God. Everybody wasn't in love with God like Jeremiah was in love with God. Everybody didn't have a heart to serve God like Jeremiah had a heart to serve God. And so difficult days created a sense of insecurity. And can I say tonight, and I know that we're in the last days, and these are difficult days. And they are dangerous days. And my friend, we ought not let what's going on in our society make us insecure about what God has saved you and I and called us to be. Jeremiah is living, he's got his sense of insecurity. Amen. Lynn said, God is calling him to a life that is so unusual to his generation. Can I say, I think that's what God has saved you and I to be. Unusual and pilgrims and strangers in a wicked day. And we got preachers preaching and church members, and they not quit coming to church, but they have a head in the sand mentality. Amen. They're circling the wagons and they're pulling in the horses. And my friend, everything is defeat. And they feel, what is that? It's insecurity. Can I say, even in difficult days, we can live for God. We can live for God. The difficulties in our lives. Notice with me this evening the doubts about our lives. God comes down and said, Jeremiah, here's what I want you to know. Before you was formed, I knew you. And before you ever came forth, I already had you sanctified, set apart to do this thing, this demand on your life. This is what I want you to do. And Jeremiah said, oh, look again in verse 6. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot. And I say that's a man that is filled with insecurity. I cannot speak way, for I am a child. It's believed, Brother Gerald, that Jeremiah has already reached the age of around 20 years old. He's not a child anymore. He's not a youngling anymore. He's not a fledgling anymore. Are you listening to that? He's already grew his wings. He's a young man now. And in his insecurities, he has doubts about his own maturity to be able to do what God has called him to do. And that, friend, listen, those doubts about ourselves and feelings of doubts about being able to live up to what God has called you and I to be and to do, my friend, oftentimes hold you in that back and defeat us. Our insecurities will defeat you and I from doing anything for God. What's your excuse? What doubts do you carry about yourself? You know, amen, and y'all ain't going to believe this, but it's true. I don't care if you believe it or not. Amen. God saved me the beginning of my senior year of high school, and he called me to preach the end of my senior year of high school. And I was one, man, I didn't like being in front of the class. I got sweaty palms, and I got nervous if the teacher called on me to answer a question in class. My last half year, my last two semesters of my senior year, they made me take speech class. They said, you can't graduate if you don't take speech. I'd rather take an F than get up and give a 30 second speech on a paper clip. Are y'all listening? And now I get up, amen, it's nothing for me to preach, amen, 45 minutes, hour and a half. Amen. Will said it felt like 2 hours before service, but amen, that's just because he's backslid. It ain't 2 hours. Amen. But I couldn't do that. Amen. And when God began to call me to preach, I had all these things. Lord, I stutter when I talk, and I can't stand for people to look at. I don't like being in front of people. You know what it was? It was doubts in myself about what I was. Amen. I'm telling you, this thing's a bigger deal than we care to admit it to be. Amen. Some of you, you'd get in the choir, but your insecurity holds you back from being a blessing. Amen. You teach a Sunday school class, but you're insecure. You got doubts about yourself, and you can only focus in on what you cannot do. That's Jeremiah's problem. Amen. These doubts are raised because all he can see is what he cannot do. He can't see what God can do through him. Doubts about himself. Notice the dangers about our lives or against our lives. Notice now, how'd you like to be, amen, in this conversation with the Lord? And you're saying, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. And the Lord said, yeah, you can do it. You're going to go, and you're going to be a preacher to the nations. And then the Lord said, listen, in verse number 8, be not afraid of their faces. You know what that alludes to? The Lord saying, what you're about ready to do, I'm not telling you there's no danger in it. Amen. All of us would serve God and be sold out and faithful and knock doors. Amen. If it wasn't for people. One pastor said the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. Can I say there is no ministry without people? People are the ministry. The ministry ain't the sheetrock and the carpet and the pews. You got to have people. And where there's people, there's danger. Amen. In these last days, there are preachers in churches that have grown phobias of people. I might as well look on up in here. They're scared of people. Amen. You'll never do anything for God with that kind of insecurity about the dangers that are out there. Good quiet crowd we got here. I'm telling you, we're circling the wagons, that circle the wagons mentality. Amen. Somebody may come in and raise the devil in church. They may. I can't tell you. In fact, amen, the next 39 years that I'm here until the Lord comes, amen, there's probably going to be some come in and try. But I ain't going to have the mentality, bless God, we ain't going to do anything because we're afraid one person's going to come in and try. Amen. You know what we're going to do in the power of God? Amen. We're going to preach and serve and labor. And when that wolf crowd shows up, we're going to pull out, amen, that 270 short mag, praise God, and go wolf hunting. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. The dangers that are about us. And the Lord has said, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. There's going to be things that's going to come against you in doing what I've called you to do. And I still want you to do. And Jeremiah had to get over that insecurity created about a danger that was going to be against him. Serving the Lord, you're going to be persecuted. If we're going to be old-timey, old-fashioned, and I ain't a-changing, Brother Larry come out this morning, he said, don't move, Brother Jeff. Don't move. By the grace of God, I ain't a-moving. Are you listening? I ain't a-moving. Amen. And I'm telling you this hour, amen, we can't do anything for God when we're insecure. Lord, I can't do it. The demands are too much. Lord, I can't do it. It's too difficult. Lord, I can't do it. There's too many doubts about myself. Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. There's too many dangers if I step out and do what you're calling me to do. But can I say we'll never be great. We'll never be on the other side where Jeremiah attained to until we learn to deal with the issues that create our insecurities. Notice with me tonight how every human being eventually has to deal with insecurity. In fact, I think insecurity is something that human beings are born with, and then as they live their life, they learn how to handle it or not handle it. And we understand some different things tonight. Notice this, some people handle their and deal with their insecurity. Amen. Some people mask their insecurity. They hide it. They mask it. How do they do it? They do it, Brother Dean, they do it by excessive bragging on their self. This crowd that always tries to impress you, they're probably not as impressed with their self as they want you to be with them. Amen. They do it. They do it. They mask their insecurity through fake confidence. Amen. I believe we ought to live confidently in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we ought to live confident as believers. Amen. I believe that, listen, it's not a facade. It's not a fake confidence. Amen. Some mask it by overly involving themselves in and pointing out the failures of others. Some people, they're so insecure, they got to point out and pick at everybody else's, amen, everybody else's little problem. Amen. I've met that crowd, and they sit in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. Amen. But you know what it is? All it is insecurity in themselves. They're masking it by pointing out everybody else's failures. You, by the way, you watch that crowd that'll sit down and talk to you about others. Amen. Talk to you about others, because eventually they'll talk about others to you. Amen. And I'm not talking about, amen, dealing with issues and dealing with things, but I'm going to tell you tonight, there are some people, all they can see is the boogers in people's noses. Y'all awake now, ain't you? All they can see, the boogers falling out of other people's noses. They don't want to deal with their own junk because they've got their own insecurities. Amen. Yeah, man, ain't we having a time? Boy, this ain't going over how I thought it was. Amen. Yeah, some people mask it through bullying. They're going to boss everybody like they're real big and bad and secure, but really they got a lot of insecurities in themselves. It's just a mask for their own insecurities. Amen. Ain't we having a time? I can't stand a bully. Amen. I can't stand a bully. We ain't called to be bullies. Some people think bullying is a spiritual gift. We ain't called to be bullies. We're called to be servants. And some people are so insecure that they're going to bully. I've met them. I'm thinking of a man right now that was in my first ministry. He was a bully, if ever there's a bully. And he got hooked up with another man in the church who was a bully, and they thought they was going to run everything. Amen. You know what it is? They're insecure in themselves. And pride begins to dwell, and they start thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to think, and they start treating people how they ought not to be treated. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, some people mask it. Help me now, Jordan. Amen. Some people mask their insecurity. Notice this, that some people, if you'll study, you'll find that some people manifest their insecurity. They constantly speak about what they can't do or what they can't be. They dwell on their past failures, and they don't attempt to do or to be anything worthwhile because of the possibility of failure. You ever met that crowd? And listen, I know what we're saying. I probably said it before, and I'm trying not to say it again. I think I understand what we're trying to say, but I don't think it's a real good reflection, Brother Gerald, on what a Christian ought to be. Well, you know, I'm a failure and all, and I ain't perfect. We all know you ain't perfect. Amen. You know what that is? That's a manifestation of insecurity. I'm not going to be anything today that's worthwhile because of past failures and because of the possibility that I may fail at what I know that ought to be and ought to do. Amen. They constantly manifest this. But notice with me, some people master their insecurity. Some people rise above it. They learn to gain victory over insecurity. And without going into the realm of pride, they learn to have a balanced life where they know who they are in the Lord. They know that they are unique. They know that God has a special plan for their life. And so they attempt great things for God. And every now and then God lets them do great things for God. Amen. They rise above all their past failures, and they rise above all the possibilities of failures, and they become great men and women of God. And I say that's where we ought to be. That's where we ought to get to tonight. Amen. I'm not talking about being proud and being arrogant. God knows, and that's one of the things God hates. Amen, friend, we don't have to walk around, amen, with our head down and our shoulders slapped, saying it's too hard to do anything for God, saying about all that we can't do. Amen, why don't we rise up and get secure in Him and understand we can do all things through Christ, which strengthening us. Jeremiah's problem is he's too concerned about Jeremiah and not concerned enough about God. That man, are y'all with me now? I'm about ready to preach. I'm almost done. Amen. Gaining victory over insecurity. You say, but preacher, my mama said that I was worthless. My daddy said I'd never be anything. And some preacher somewhere told me I'd never amount to anything for God. And I say they're liars and liars tonight. And God has a special plan for your life. And He wants to use you in mighty, mighty ways. Amen. You want to get me riled up. Amen. Let me hear a parent tell their youngins that they can't. Amen. Praise God. If you get a youngin that friend gets a drag, amen, we ought to do everything we can to fuel that drag. Amen. And build their confidence. Amen. And make them secure in the things that God puts in their heart. Amen. I want my boys to know you can be everything that God puts His hand on you to be. My daughters can be everything that God wants to use them to be. Amen. We do not have to be timid and my friend to be afraid of what God wants to do with our lives. You say, preacher, I've messed up in the past and there's no way I can do it. You know what that is? Insecurity. I don't care how big a mistake you've made. God can use your life. Amen. We know tonight, and I don't have to preach this here this evening, but amen, there are things you can mess up that, friend, you'll never fully recover from. But I tell you what I'm thankful for, and we serve the God of the first chance and the second chance and the third chance, and only God knows what chance I'm on tonight. And God, my friend, is filled with grace. You don't have to be defeated and insecure about your past failures. You don't have to be afraid tonight in the Lord of what God wants you to do. You don't have to be afraid of the possibility of future failure. You say, but preacher, I've tried and I failed before. Well, try again. Amen. I was told if you get bucked off a horse, you get back on it. Amen. But as soon as your leg healed up, you went back, saddled it up, and got back on it again. Amen. I'm preaching now. Amen. Amen. Listen, I teach my boys. Amen. You fall off your back and you break your arm. John's getting his cast off this week. He don't know it yet, but we're going to be back out in the front yard and he's going to be jumping ramps again. Why? Because you can't allow, amen, past failures to defeat you. And you believe that there's no way you can ever overcome a possibility of a failure in the future. I got good news for you. You're going to fail again. Amen. Don't you believe this legalistic, pharisaical crowd that acts like they don't struggle and they've never failed? John, we are going to fail. Thank God, failure. One old colored preacher said that failure ain't final with the Father. Amen. He can shake you all. Amen. Get the dust off. Amen. And put you back in the work of God. Amen. Don't allow, amen, the sense of failure to breed insecurity in you. Don't matter what the devil says. It don't matter what a husband says. It don't matter what a wife has told you. It doesn't matter what a friend has looked you in the eyeball and walked away and said, my man's a walking away. Amen. God loves you tonight. And God does have a plan for you tonight. And all that God has, amen, is well worth doing and being for His glory. How do we gain victory over insecurity? Number one, praise God, I may not get off this. Kathy, this is good. Watch this. Number one, God, the Lord, gave him victory through the affirmation of the Lord. Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, I can't. I can't speak. I'm but a child. Amen. But notice what the Lord said in verse 7. He gives him an affirmation. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Amen. You know what Jeremiah just said? He said, Lord, I can't. You know what God said? Yes, you can. Amen. Lord, I can't. God said, yes, you can. Amen. Quit saying you can't. And what's he doing? He's affirming, I've got something that I'm going to do in your life. And watch this now. This is where I about had a spell this week. Amen. All Jeremiah could see was a child. When God endowed Jeremiah saw a child, God saw a champion. Amen. He said, all I am is a child. And God said, don't say that anymore. I see what you don't say. I see what you're going to become. I see a champion in you. And I'm going to use your life. Say not that I am a child. You say, preacher, I'm this, I'm that. God says, I'm affirming to you, do not say that you are what you think you are. When we see a child, God sees a champion. Hallelujah. God knows the spirit of my heart tonight. There's no, amen, there's no pride in my heart in saying what I'm saying this evening. But I had never dreamed as a 17, nearly 18-year-old boy, amen, when God reached down and called me to preach, I'd have never dreamed that, my friend, I'd have preached some of the places I've preached. I'd have never dreamed I'd have pastored the churches God has already let me pastor. I'd have never dreamed the souls had been saved, had been saved, and the families have been helped, had been helped. Thank God, when all I seen was a child, all I thought I was a child, and God looked down and saw a champion. David showed that Samuel shows up at Jesse's house. He said, God sent me down here to anoint one of your boys to be the next king over Israel. And Jesse said, hallelujah, let me get the oldest. He walks in, and Brother Jack, you know the story. When Samuel seen him, Brother Larry, Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. God said, nope. You see a champion, I see a child. The next one walks in, and Samuel said, well, that's got to be him. And the Lord said, nope, that ain't him. You see a champion, but I see a child. All the way down to where Jesse sent them all but one. And Samuel said, is this all of them? God said one of your boys was going to be the anointed in all things that you brought back. God has rejected them. He said, well, I got one little old boy. Hallelujah. Son, I'm about to run. Brother Willie said, I got one little old boy. He's a little old rug rat. We don't even like being around him, so we throwed him out there in the wilderness. He's out there tending the sheep. And Samuel said, you go get him, and you call for him. We're not eating him. We're not a-sitting down until he walks in the door. Amen, friend. They went down and got David. Amen, here comes some little old. The Bible said he was ready. That means he didn't even have hair under his arms yet. Amen, he didn't even have a whisker or two on his face. And he walked in, little old frail Frank, that little boy, little child. And I imagine Samuel thought, surely this is not him. And God said, arise, anoint him. You see a child, and I see a champion. I see one that's going to bring down giants. I see one that's going to defeat the Philistines. I see one that'll sit on a throne. And God sees beyond what men see. He gave Jeremiah an affirmation of the Lord. You're going to do this. Don't say that you can't. Quit telling me what you can't do. Quit telling me about, and I'm preaching now, and I'm preaching to my church because it's been told to me. Quit telling me how scared you are to sing in a choir. The preacher, you just don't understand. I understand more than you think I understand. Preacher, I can't knock doors. I'm too scared. Quit telling me you can't. Because God has an affirmation tonight. God can. What you can't do in yourself, God can do through you, and that gives victory over every insecurity. The affirmation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all want another? I got three more. Let me see your book. Look in the next verse. Verse number 8. The Bible said, be not afraid of their faces. Here it is. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know what he gave him to give him victory over insecurity? He gave him the presence of the Lord. He said, you're going to go and you're going to preach and you're going to do what I've called you to do. And you may not can do it, but I can do it through you. And he said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm going to be with you through every step of the way. Can I say tonight, that gives me victory over every insecurity that I have. A year ago we've been, and I hate to bring so much attention to it today, but it's just the day we're in. It was 18 years ago to the day today God saved me, and it was a year ago to the day that I stood here and preached for the first time at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle to a church seeking the will of God. And I'll never forget a year ago to this evening, probably about this time we got back in the car. And my wife said, well, what do you think? I said, I ain't going. I can't pastor them. I can't follow Doc Wells. I ain't doing it. I can't do it. God said, you can do it. And you can't do it in yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless his name. Somewhere in that first week, somewhere between the first and that third week, God said, you can do it, and you're going to do it, because I'm going to go with you.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. You know what I'm thankful the last 365 days? Amen. I've laid a few duds and laid a few rotten eggs, but thank God through it all, the Lord has been there every step of the way. And God has been there. Thank God. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. Don't tell me we can't do something for God when God is with us and God is best. We can do everything God has called us to do. How you take a 34-year-old preacher, put him in a church with a man who can preach the paint off the walls, known as a giant across this land, and say, now you go pastor it. He can't pastor it. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I live with him. I sleep with him. I eat with him. I work with him. I know how dumb that he really is. But can I say something? He can do it when the Lord's with him. Amen. How you take a church that my friend is trying to make it along and doesn't know how to go about it, and they come through it successfully. How do they do it? Amen. Because the Lord was with them. Lord, when the Lord's with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Gerald, you just finish up. I'm going to go outside and shout a little while. Amen. There's been some days I've been back in that office saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, get up and preach again. And I'll be with you and just keep on preaching and keep on studying it and keep on praying. I'm with you. I do what I've called you to do. The presence of the Lord gave him victory over his insecurity.
Right.
Amen. Somebody said, if you got you and God, that's a majority. Hey, some days God ain't even got me, and it's still a majority.
Amen.
And I say, you can have a million man army on the other side. If you got God, when God's all you have, He's all you need.
Amen.
The presence of the Lord, the affirmation of the Lord. Watch this. Let me see your Bible again, son. Lord, have mercy. Glory to God. Ain't you glad He's with us? God said, you just go on.
Amen.
Can I tell Calvary Baptist Tabernacle something? Let's just keep on serving God. When He's with us, we need not be insecure about anything.
Amen.
The affirmation of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, and then there's the touch of the Lord. Glory to God. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. God said, you're saying you can't, but you can do anything when I touch you. The touch of God, Brother Will, makes a difference. You know why? Will, who sings pretty good, but he ain't never led a choir before and get up and one Sunday and lead it all day long because of the touch of the Lord upon his life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know how we, Roger, you make it. You're 73 years old. You make it and serve the Lord all the rest of the days of your life by the touch of the Lord.
Amen.
The touch of God. Man, I ain't got time to preach this, but when God touches something, there ain't nothing you or the devil or the world can do about it. The touch of God. And Jeremiah said, all right, I'm going to step out and go do it, Lord. You give me your touch. Hallelujah. Number four, and I'm done. Well, number four, and then I got a closing thought. The word of the Lord. The Bible said, Brother L., that He put His word in my mouth. He took the word and said, here, eat this a little while. Chew on this. Woo! Hallelujah. You know how you get victory over insecurity? You get feasting on that right there. Take that in and let that word settle in there, and it begins to grow your faith in God. And all of a sudden you go from saying, I can't, to saying, God can.
Amen.
The word of the Lord. I wish I could preach that right now. I'm done. Come on, Candy. Don't close your Bible. Look in verse 10. What did God say? Sister Kathy's that first word of verse 10 say, see? That's God speaking. God said, see it. See it. You've been saying you can't. Watch it now. The only way you can go from being insecure to victory over insecurity is you've got to open your eyes to what God has told you and see it and believe it and go do and be everything God has called you to be and do. You say, preacher, you just don't understand. God does.
Amen.
God is saying tonight, I want to use your life. One of the things I emphasized before Jordan come along, and thank the Lord, Jordan come along and he's teaching the young people. When I was back there teaching, I constantly remind these young people, what would I tell you? You're not stupid. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. God blessed you with a brain in your head. And God has a special plan for your life. Riley, it's as true tonight as it's ever been, son. If you let the Lord have all that He wants to have out of you, put it all on the altar and say, God, whatever You want me to do, I'll rise to the occasion. I'll let You be glorified in my life. I'll let You do what You want to do in me. You ain't got to say, but I can't, Lord. but I can't, because God ain't interested in what you can't do. He's interested in us being interested in what God can do. Because guess what? Here's the truth of it all, Brother William. We can't. That's the truth of it all. We can't. But when you realize God can, you rise in victory. When you understand you're unique to God, you're special to God, God only made one of you. Amen. And thank God He only made one of some of y'all. Had He made two, we wouldn't have been able to stand you. Can I get a witness right there? He only made one of us, Kathy. Only made one Kathy Day. Only made one Tori Ledbetter. Only made one, what state are you? Georgia. One Georgia. That's all He made. One Jerry Jennings. One Charlie. One Jordan. All you can be is what He made you to be. You said, preacher, I don't like what He made me to be. But He made you. And He loves you. And He still wants to use your life. Amen. I'm a preaching tonight, son. Some of y'all don't look like you know it, but I'm a preaching tonight. Preacher, I wish I was taller. God didn't make you taller. Some people are vertically challenged, like Will Barnett. You can't do nothing about it. Christ said, what man can add any measure to his stature? You can't. Amen. Mark says, I wish I had more hair. Ain't nothing he can do about it. You can't do anything about what God has made you to be. So just be the best you that God has made you to be. One of the problems, and I'm winding down, I promise. One of the problems I have with our movement and the way that it's gone over the last 50 years is it's like in our churches we want cookie cutters. We're trying to cookie cut the members of our church. I don't like that. You know why I don't like that? Because God didn't make me to be Dean Price. And I know there's standards, and I know there's things that are across the board, but I'm me. There's things I like you'll never like, but God made me, and my life causes me to like that, and that's okay. If you don't like deer hunting, that's fine. Don't blast me for deer hunting. Amen. I don't blast you for hugging trees. Yeah, I do too, don't I? You're just you. And that's okay. Greatest day of my life. I'm just bearing my heart to you now. I'm done preaching. I'm bearing my heart to you. Greatest day of my life when God put me through that nervous breakdown I went through. A spirit of anxiety and depression. God taught me, you got to quit living for everybody else. You serve them. You live to serve them. But you don't live to try to fit in their molds. You let me mold your life. And it absolutely transformed my ministry. It transformed my Christian life. And I began quit putting on a show because I was so insecure about what I was, to being confident in Christ that it's okay to be the best Jeff Ledbetter God can make me to be. Amen. Am I helping anybody tonight? You be what God has made you to be, and saved you to be, and desired and planned for you to be, and it'll be all right. Amen. Amen. Ain't that okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's all stand. We're going to give an invitation. Start playing there, sister. Father, I love you. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Pray that you'd help us now. Lord, a lot to be done in these last days. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I've preached to some young people tonight that think they're too young. Lord, I preach to others tonight that say they're too old. God, the truth of the matter is, it ain't about how young or how old, how healthy or unhealthy we are. Lord, we are what we are, and God, you desire to take our lives and use us for the honor and the glory of God. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help these young folk, help their parents, Help the grandparents. Help our church membership, Lord, to rise up and, Lord, to lose all excuses that are connected with being insecure. Lord, may we put our confidence in the Lord. Lord, really, at the end of the day, we understand that all our insecurities are the result of a lack of real, true, life-changing faith in the God that saved us. So, Lord, help us tonight. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name. There's a few young people that's come, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. There's some praying in their pew. Would you mind the Lord this evening? Would you mind the Lord tonight? You say, preacher, I can't. I'm telling you tonight, the help of God, the grace of God, you can leave here tonight not saying that anymore. You can leave saying, by the help and grace of God, I can. The help and grace of God, I can. Would you rise up, be what God has saved you and called you to be? Say, but preacher, I was told I can't. I just don't believe that tonight. Mind the Lord this evening. There's a handful on the altar praying tonight. Victory over insecurity.